When y'all sitting there talking and stuff, guess what the day is? Sunday, the Lord's Day. Today is the day of salvation. Today.
That's right.
If the Holy Spirit has been working on you, you're struggling, you're not going to hear one word I say today.
Come on.
And that's fine. But you're going to have multiple opportunities, including any time during the service, come up here and get your heart right.
Amen.
Get God in your life.
Amen.
Then you'll understand what this message is about today.
Come on.
And so please, if you need Jesus Christ, I don't care if it's right now, you come on up here.
Amen.
And get that burden out. You sit through this service, you're going to get nervous. And so if you need to do it now, do it now.
Amen.
If not, you won't hear nothing. All right, y'all can be seated. So y'all heard me say before a bunch of times, if you especially been to Bible study, I always have what I think I'm going to do for a sermon or a Bible lesson, whatever the situation is, right? And then I get my mind changed sometimes. I think, Daryl, that we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting at verse 13. So you can get that up there. Y'all can look. I'll get to it in a minute. So I just want to go over a few things before we get started. Brother Charlie, in Sunday school class today, because we got the same, I wasn't in the class, but we have about Mary, right? Y'all talk about Mary, Virgin Mary. And so if you, one word, that's all it takes. One word just jumped off my page in my lesson plan that I had that I read already, and then it jumped back at me again. They made a commentary. She was saturated in the Word of God.
Come on.
You know what that word saturate means? Y'all ever been saturated in the rain?
Come on.
Okay, we need to be saturated in the Word of God.
Amen.
All the way through, soaked all the way through.
Amen.
Daily basis, and y'all be sick of me hearing from saying that, but I can't put the emphasis on daily basis. You need to be saturated in the Word of God and line up with Him and
Amen.
Get close as you can to God.
Amen.
So that's my little side trail on Mary. So if you didn't go to Sunday school, and like Brother Tom said, he says it a lot, and I say it a lot because I teach Sunday school. I teach a Bible study. You will get more
Come on.
In those settings for Bible study and getting close to God and breaking down Scripture than you will
Amen.
Hearing me up here or Brother Tom up here or any preacher on the sermon. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing today. We're good. But get in Sunday school, get into Bible study if you want to learn about the Word of God.
Amen.
Not because it's good storytelling. It's good stuff for daily living. And what we're going to talk about today is where you have to be in the Word of God in order to get and to battle what we're fixing to talk about. And everybody in here, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your background is, where you've been, where you hadn't been, and where you're going. And so you, at some point, are going to deal with temptation.
Amen.
We're all going to deal with temptation at some point or another. And I say again, I don't care what your background is, or what's your status, whatever you want to call, and stuff. I'm telling you, there's people right now still haven't got off the floor yet because I'm standing up here. And they like, wow. So God can take anything, anybody,
Amen.
And use them as his vessel.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Anybody.
All the time.
All right. Let me get my glasses. Well, there's a scripture. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. You know what that means? I had to kind of break it down a little bit. There's nothing that you can be tempted with that somebody else or Jesus Christ himself hadn't been through.
Amen.
So your temptation is not new. It may be new to you.
That's right.
But it's not going to be new.
Amen.
And so there's an answer for it. And that's Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing you'll go through that he has not been through that he can't get you into. It says, but, I like those words, but God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
Let me put it in simple terms. Whatever you're going through, or will go through, or have been through, got to get you out of it.
That's right.
There's a way. Now, you're going to have to step up to the plate. You're going to have to get saturated.
Amen.
With His Word.
Right.
In order to overcome these. And if you've been to any of the Bible studies, I know I keep going back to that, but it kind of falls into place here. Ephesians chapter 6 gives you a laundry list, specifically six things that God provided each and every one of us if we accept it.
Amen.
And stuff. It's the armor of God.
Right.
So that's your homework. Y'all can read chapter 6 and go over that. And then come next Tuesday to the Bible study. And then, so there are six things that the armor of God. I'm not going to go through all of them today. But God, He has provided us a way, right? We just got to get in His Word. We got to hear what He has to say. So I'm going to kind of cover five different things here that's going to help us when that temptation does occur. Number one, we got to fight. Now, as Christians, we kind of water down over the years, and I'm not talking about a fist fight necessarily. We got to fight for your Christianity. You got to stand up.
Amen.
And so God didn't mean for you to sit and take it. I think a whole lot of our issues today of the church, if we did not fight for a long time.
Come on.
We didn't stand up for God's word. We didn't reach out to those people who needed to be reached out for, because it'd take care of itself. And I'm just as guilty of it. And so we need to stand up. We need to fight. The armor of God, that's part of the fight we got. It says, because Ephesians 6, chapter 11, put on the full armor of God so that you, knows that word? You can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Amen.
He has equipped us to stand up to the devil. Now notice, He, as in God, Jesus Christ, has equipped you to stand up to the devil. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you can't stand up to the devil.
Come on.
The number one thing you can ever do in your entire life is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Right.
Period. And then all this stuff will come with it.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to stand up. We need to fight. We don't need to back down. Don't start a fight. But stand up for your Christian. Be proud that you're a Christian. As a church, we should be proud. And part of the fight, now this is hard for a lot of people. Submit yourselves. This is James 4:7.
Come on.
Okay. It starts off right off the bat. Submit yourselves. Okay. We don't like that word. It sounds like weakness to a lot of people. Submit. I ain't submitting to nobody. Okay. Well, you submit. You are. If you choose to or not, you're submitting either to the devil. If you don't, you're in trouble. So number one, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to the Lord. Let me read the rest of it. Then, so notice that, submit yourself, then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what's that mean, resist the devil? First of all, don't get in, whatever your temptation may be, and that could be a bunch of them or a few of them or whatever. Don't put yourself into situations.
Amen.
Number one. Number one, stay away. My grandma always told me, you lie with dogs, you get fleas.
Amen. Come on.
I mean, it's kind of pretty simple. A lot of truth to that and stuff. If we submit ourselves to God, then we can resist the devil.
Amen.
But, again, I'll emphasize, you got to have God first. You got to have Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And then the devil will flee from you. And we'll get into it maybe a little bit later. As Jesus, how did he get through his temptations? in the desert in 40 days, right? So first of all, he's saturated in the Word. I like that new word. I just learned it today. He's saturated in the Word. Amen. He knew Scripture, and he didn't take like Satan. He knows Scripture too, by the way. But he can take a little bit of Scripture and just change one little deal and make it sound good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And stuff. Very seldom is Satan just going to come to full blown attack on you. He's gonna just ease his way in like a little weasel, just keep chipping away, deteriorating. You understand? So we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to flee from the devil. And then here's another one. Be alert. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. And you don't have to look all these. This is where my references are coming from. Be alert and sober mind. Pay attention. Be ready. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I get to the second part of that in a minute. So you got the word. It ain't if he's going to do it. It's when. It didn't say he may. It says he's actively looking, waiting to pounce in at your weakest moment when you're in a vulnerable state of mind or a vulnerable compromise on something. You got to pay attention and be ready. And my favorite, I got a bunch of favorite words. Every day, be ready. Every day. Not today, Sunday only. Because he'll work real hard Monday through Saturday.
Come on.
And so, we need to be ready. He's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Read the book of Job if you want a good example. Resist him. There you go. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know, as a Christian, here we go, you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. All right, there's an old country song, Chris Christopherson wrote, "Why me, Lord?" Let me ask you this, why not you?
Amen.
What makes you any different than Jesus?
Come on.
And so, don't ask why me, Lord. And so resist and get with the Lord and get out of the mess you're in. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do. Not why me, Lord. And again, it says right there at the end of that scripture, throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You're not alone. It's not just you going through a particular situation. It's everybody. Now, the circumstances might be a little different, the timing or whatever, but everybody is going through something. We're all in this together.
Amen.
And he provides, again, back up to Scripture, he provides us a way out, which is Christ. And this is what I like, a little footnote. We're still on the fight part. Satan is not a big word. I'm not big on big words, but I usually mess them up. Omnipresent like God, but he has many helpers. So he's not in your mind unless you let him in your mind. And so he can't read your mind. God knows everything you're thinking, doing, what you're going to do, what you hadn't done. God knows all that, right? Satan does not. He don't have that kind of power. But what Satan does is centuries of dealing with humans, human nature, and he knows what your weakness is. He knows where you stumble, where you might fall, and he has a bunch of helpers. Satan's not by himself. There's more than, he's not by himself. There's a bunch of fallen angels as his helpers. So remember that. He can't read your mind, but he knows your ways.
Amen.
Just the way you do stuff. It's just like you're married to somebody for a long time. They don't have to say something to know when your wife's mad at you. So, it's usually pretty clear. So, same here. So, do not let Satan get into it. If you let him in your mind, he got you. and stuff, but you need to stay in the Word, stay saturated. I'm going to quit saying it. I know y'all probably tired of saturated in the Word of God. All right. So that's fighting. We got to fight. So we got to stand up. We got to know what to fight for and fight with. And he gives us that in Ephesians chapter 6. Then the next one, number two, we have to follow. That kind of self, to me, self-explanatory. Follow what? Follow who? Christ. Christ Jesus. Not only follow Christ, so what's it mean? Let's break it down a little further. I had to do this too. You know, what I love about teaching is you get taught yourself before you teach it. And you get the Word and you get, so it ain't like I know a lot of stuff. I'm ahead of you a little bit because I studied this before I came up here. So we're going to follow the example of Jesus.
That's right.
He laid the blueprint. Just read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you witness, by the way, I told y'all, you know, there's rabbits in heaven because there's a bunch of rabbit trails that I like to go down.
Amen.
So, now I say I lost my thought. What are we talking about? Following Jesus and stuff. So, if you witness to somebody, which that's what you should be doing, we're all called to spread the Word of God, right?
Amen.
Okay, we know that. Right. If you hadn't, today's a good day to start. So, we got to follow Jesus' examples, what he laid out for us. And we need to, see, every time I go somewhere else, I lose my train of thought again. But we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and how he read the gospel. That's why I'm talking about the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you witness somebody, there's no better start to tell them to start reading the gospels.
Amen.
And so just tell them to pick one. I preferably like John.
There you go.
I don't know why, but anyway. So follow the example of Jesus. James 4, 7 through 8. And here's this word we don't like. I read it a while ago, but add a little more to it. Submit yourselves, then God will resist the devil, flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you.
Amen.
God is there. He ain't waiting. He is waiting. He's waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. He's already there.
Come on.
He's here. We just got to come to him. We need to. And then he would come near to us. We wash your hands. Wash your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Another word, double-minded. I did a little research on that too. Double-minded. So basically, I put things simple because that's how I get things myself. Double-minded is you talking one thing and you doing something else. Okay, you play in church today, but the rest of the week, you're living like hell. I don't know how to put it.
Come on.
Okay, don't be double-minded. Stay single-minded on Christ.
Amen.
We're still talking about following. 1 Peter chapter 2, to this you were called because, notice that, because you were called. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're called. You got a calling, whatever that may be. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And we kind of just discussed that, but that's another version of it from Peter's point of view. And it's because you accepted me, talking about Christ, you are called. And so Matthew 28, everybody likes that when he says go out into the world. He don't tell you if you want to. He tells you to go. And by the way, it said, what does the disciples do? They didn't have 2 years of disciple training. They didn't have Bible lesson classes. They just went like he told them.
Amen.
He took the command of go. They took the command of go, and they went. Should we be any different?
Nope. You got.
And then we're going to follow his footsteps. Then we're going to flee. We're going to fight. We're going to follow Jesus' example. Then we're going to flee. It kind of You know, you're saying, well, you said fight here, and then you flee. There's a, look, old Kenny Rogers said one time, there's a time to hold them, time to fold them. There's a time to fight, and there's a time to run, right? We got to get out of there. And so back to my grandmother, if you got a bunch of fleas jumping off of dogs, you better get out of there.
Amen.
And we need to do not remain in the presence of temptation. If you know you got this particular issue of a temptation, get out of there. Stay away from it. Walk away. Whatever you got to do, call a friend. Do something. Don't just sit there, because I guarantee you, if you stay there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall into that temptation. You can't resist it without God's help. And He told you what to do. He told you to get out of there. Our main scripture we started with, 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Big word. Flee from it. Run. And just think of Joseph in Genesis when the woman had his cloak, coat, whatever you want to call it, grabbed it. What did he do? He ran. He left a bunch of evidence behind. You know, and then in your mind, that's what Satan will get you. Well, if I run, then they ain't going to believe me. And they didn't. That's iffy there if they did or not. But he got put in prison for it for a little while. But get out of the situation. Whatever it may cost you, your coat or whatever, get out of there. Clothe yourself. Romans 13 says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Turn straight directly to the Word of God. You get in that situation, first of all, get out of there. Get in His Word.
Amen.
Saturate yourself with His Word instead of thinking about that fleshly desire, whatever that may be. Then 2 Timothy tells us, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness. That's a good word there. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You encompass those four things right there. You keep those close and dear to your heart. Righteousness, peace, love. Keep it right here in your heart and your soul. Those desires, I don't care who you are. You got some kind of fleshly desire of some sort. That's our human nature. That's what we're born into it. We got it. That's why Jesus, God, spends a lot of time on mentioning how to take care of these things.
Amen.
We didn't need it here. If we didn't have a problem with it, He wouldn't waste the time writing it or having somebody write it for Him. So we need to keep that stuff in mind. Fight, follow, flee. What we're doing right now, fellowship. Don't do it by yourself. We need have God first. Do that, but you need to lean on somebody.
Amen.
It's maybe somebody that has that been through the same thing you've been through.
Amen.
Or you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher or just somebody. Find that somebody that you can share your problem with. And help you get through it. Hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Go play golf instead of going to wherever you don't need to go. If you play golf. I don't play golf. I tried, but it didn't work. So fellowship. Isolation is the ideal environment for temptation. So if you seclude yourself, you get isolated, you get by yourself, and so then you're going to lose, I'll say, 100% of the time. Don't isolate the problem. It's just going to grow and dwell. You ain't going to get it in mind. So you got to get it out. You got to get God. You got to fight it. You got to flee from it. You got to share it. You got to fellowship with somebody. Even though embarrassing as it may be, I don't know, but there got to be somebody you can lean on. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my grandma's analogy. That holds true. Bad company So if you got an issue and all these people do the same thing, don't go with those people. I just had a thought. I heard Tom Lowe say this a bunch of times. When you follow Christ, you're going to lose some friends. You're going to lose some people you used to hang out with. They don't want to be around you no more, or vice versa. You don't need to be around them. Not that you might not talk to them or whatever, but you're not going to continually be in their presence all the time if they're doing what you don't need to be doing. All right. Something else. So also, what might be a problem for me, a temptation, may not bother you. You might not have no temptation with that, or vice versa. And so not everything. And you can do the laundry list of the bad things that comes to mind, of temptations and stuff. But anything, let me repeat that, anything that you put ahead of God. It's a problem.
That's right.
Amen. Anything.
Amen.
If you watch too much TV, and the TV itself ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just using that for example. But just you put anything in that spot. If you deer hunt too much.
Come on.
Ooh, that is a hard one. So.
Too much.
So whatever. Yeah, too much. And so whatever it is may not be just an outright sin itself, but if it prevents you from doing what God calls you to do or be close to Him, amen, then it's a problem. So look at it that way. In Proverbs, a whole book full of wisdom, chapter 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise, for companion of fools suffers harm. I used to think about that. I know a lot of wise people, a bunch, over the years working with. Well, we're not talking, so we need to be careful what wise we're talking about. Are they wise of the world? There's a lot of people real sharp with worldly things. We're talking about wise walking with Christ, walking the wise. That's who we're talking about, not just anybody that's wise. There's a lot of wise people, but we need to find those people and walk with the ones that are wise with the Lord, with God. That's what we're looking for. The last one, let me just recap. Fight, follow, flee, fellowship. And this is my favorite one. I get to say one of my favorite words daily. We got to feed. What are we going to feed with? The Word of God is the Christian's daily bread. My notes got the word is capitalized, which means Jesus, the gospel, the Word. So that's your bread. There's your daily bread. He even says that in Matthew, I can't quote it, Matthew somewhere. He is the bread. So we got to feed. The Word of God is a Christian's daily bread. Psalms 119, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You're not going to get a word in your heart unless you study, saturate, what's that word again? Saturate yourself with the Word of God. You're not going to know it unless you read it. You got to do it. You got to get into it. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to practice it. Practice what you preach.
Amen.
And I will tell you, if you want to follow the footprints of Christ on temptation, read Matthew chapter 4. We don't have time to read it in here. Read his temptation and what he went through. There's nothing, I don't reiterate, there's nothing that you will go through or have gone through that Jesus cannot relate to.
Come on. Come on.
And he gave us the blueprint of how to handle it. He gave us the blueprint on equipment-wise, how to take care of it and where to go. And we need to stay in his word. I got I have something I'm going to read to you, but it's on my phone. I left my phone over there. It's not important. It ain't that important. I like to close with something. It was from C.S. Lewis. But, so, this is what I'm going to close with. All what I just said, if you're that person that I started out with this morning, first thing, if you just, you heard Charlie Brown up here talking, you come up here to this altar, you get your heart right with God, and all the other stuff we'll take care of, and it'll take care of itself. God will come into your heart. So, Daryl, you play a song of invitation. Brother Tom, you come up here. If you need this altar, you need to pray, you got something you need to get off your chest, you need to come talk to one of us, we're here. And so don't leave here today, because today is the day of salvation. And you got to have Christ. And then I tell you, it will all be good. We're victorious. You accept Christ, it's victorious. Not saying you won't go through some trials and bumps in the road, but we can get through them because we got Christ on our side. Darryl.